What in the world is going on with Harrison Barnes? He has not looked like himself during this 0-3 start. And most concerning, he's coming off of a game where despite playing over 20 minutes, he took just one shot. He's coasting out there. We got to figure out what's wrong here to help me do that. The high flyer, Henry Turner, former Sacramento King, current Kings radio analyst, joins me right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason today, presented by Prize Picks. First time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports reporter and producer at ABC 10. Back in my home studio here, you may notice some things changing behind me. You're going to notice that more and more over the course of the next few weeks or so. I am in the process of moving. Don't worry, not leaving Sacramento, not leaving the Locked On Kings podcast, not leaving ABC 10. Still very, very much going to be here and involved in hopefully what will end up becoming an exciting season. And while there have been an exciting moment so far in these first three games, an 0-3 start, some people might have expected it. I was not one of those people. I'm hoping the Kings can figure out how to turn things around here in their 3 days of preparation before the Memphis Grizzlies, or should I say 3 days after the Sunday night loss to the Golden State Warriors. This is the end of day two, so they really have one more day left to prepare, and hopefully they're trying to figure out how to unlock Harrison Barnes a little bit or get Harrison a little more comfortable, because as of right now, he does not look comfortable whatsoever. Is he being too passive? Is he just trying to find out how to fit with this group? Does he know his role but doesn't necessarily know how to be the best at that role? These are questions that I think we need a little more on-court time before we have answers to. But ultimately, we can clearly see that Harrison Barnes is not himself, and he's not playing even close to the level that the Sacramento Kings need him to play as a starter, as a really pillar of this team, as a consistent, hopefully, contributor to winning basketball. Harrison Barnes just hasn't been that. So instead of me putting the investigation hat on or detective hat on and pulling out a magnifying glass and trying to figure this out and look at the numbers and analyze the tape and stuff like that, I figured, why not get someone who's been there before, who's been on the floor, who's gone through slumps like this, who's played with really, really good players and tried to figure out how to incorporate himself or fit alongside those players. I'm talking about Henry Turner. If you haven't heard Henry Turner on Locked On Kings before, he's an amazing guy, a brother of mine, someone who is just phenomenal at what he does, provides excellent analysis, his long playing career in the NBA, spent some time with the Sacramento Kings, and then, of course, has now worked for years on the Kings radio broadcast side of things. They used to host Kings pre- and post-game shows with Henry. Very much missed those, so it was fun to be able to reignite that relationship and chat Kings basketball with him, talk a lot about Harrison Barnes. We also talk about Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with the High Flyer, HT. Joining me right now, you might know him as the High Flyer, former Sacramento King, Henry Turner, currently on the Sacramento Kings radio broadcast as an analyst, where he's been for quite a while. And HT, I need your analysis brain right out of the gate here, as well as your former player brain, because I want to talk to you about Harrison Barnes. Look, with the exception of De'Aaron Fox, Harrison is the longest tenured Sacramento King. So we're pretty familiar with Harrison. We know what he brings to the table. These first three games, he hasn't really looked like himself. First and foremost, what do you see going on with HB to start this season?
You know, we were talking about that on air, Matt. It's funny that you bring it up, because this basketball team, if they're going to be successful, they need Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is going to have to be a part of this, where these guys, you know, try to make that push for this playoff berth that they, you know, so desperately want. But I don't know, man. I know last year at the end, I thought Harrison Barnes kind of checked in a little bit, you know, seeing that the season was almost over with. Sabonis and De'Aaron was hurt. He was the third one out there. But now Harrison Barnes might be much more aggressive. They need him. They need the old Harrison Barnes. They need the Harrison Barnes that started last year early on. The guy that really took control and, you know, was one of the best to start off for the Sacramento Kings.
When it comes to HB, though, we know kind of his calm, laid-back demeanor. We know how he is in front of the media, and we've seen him let out a yell and things like that on the floor, so we know he has that competitive drive. He's not just a laid-back person all the time, but do you need to see, are you questioning kind of the competitive drive of what you're seeing from Harrison Barnes right now? Does he seem focused or checked into you, or does it seem like more he's trying to figure out how to incorporate himself into a pretty new team?
You know, from what I know about Harrison Barnes, man, Harrison Barnes is a professional. I will never question, his effort out there on the floor. I'll never question his heart, you know, his drive. I've never, you know, seen him be that type of player to where you have to question those things. I think he goes by his job very professionally. I think he's trying to find his way, you know, but – you know, at the end of the day, you have to look at what's happening. The dynamic has changed a little bit. You know, last year at the beginning, Harrison Barnes was the number two guy. You know, De'Aaron was one, Harrison Barnes was two. So now we done brought in another superhero to this Justice League. And, you know, De'Aaron's one, Sabonis is two. You know, you might even put the rookie up there because the rookie is playing out of his mind. I love what he's doing. He might be number three. And then Harrison might be number four as far as getting touches out there, you know, trying to be able to score on offensive end.
Yeah, and you look at his first two games, and he struggled shooting the basketball. What I appreciated about game two is when he was struggling, he was still attacking the basket, and he was drawing fouls. The problem was he and the entire Sacramento Kings team couldn't get a free throw to save a damn. And then you look at the game against Golden State, but this is what's most concerning to me about the Golden State game is he still plays 21 minutes, not as many minutes as you would expect from a starter, but still 21 minutes. That's a lot more time than a stat line of 4 points and one field goal attempt with only a couple rebounds. That suggests to me that not only were you not playing up to your standards, you were a non-factor out there. And that's something that we haven't really seen from Harrison at any point.
You know, and it's hard to say non-factor, man. I'm a Harrison Barnes guy. I like HB, man, because, you know, he's such a consistent professional. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, because on this basketball team, if Harrison Barnes doesn't take at least 15 shots, it doesn't seem like Harrison Barnes is trying. You know, he has to at least attempt those type of shots. Now, I don't care if you go 0 for 15. At least you're giving me a chance. You have to give yourself a chance. But when you look at someone like Harrison Barnes, who really don't want to force things, who really don't like, you know, mucking things up, I think that he's trying to let it come to him. He's trying a little bit. And then when it's not working for him right out the gate, he kind of like floats and try to let it come to him. And that's why you see some of the lackluster numbers.
Yeah, let's dive into that a little bit more, because I was going to say one thing we know about Harrison for sure is that he's an excellent teammate, that he always wants to get his teammates involved and he wants to fit well. He's a guy that he can take over when he needs to, and at times has shown that side for the Sacramento Kings. But for the most part, you see him trying to incorporate others. Is there almost an element of Barnes maybe right now that's being a little too passive, trying to get maybe like Kevin Huerter more involved or trying to get these new guys more incorporated? Or do you think it's just a little slump?
I think it's more so of a little slump. But here's the big thing, Matt, and this is where a lot of fans, a lot of organizations, they get it misconstrued. Everybody can't be a Batman. Mm. You know, it's either it's in you or it's not. You know, let me give you an example. When Ja Morant walks in the room, you know who Ja Morant is. Mm-hmm. Okay. When LeBron James walks in the room, you know who LeBron James is. Kobe Bryant, Paul George, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, you know, those guys have that. They know who their leaders are. They know what they have to do. Now, as much as you would like for a guy to be that, And sometimes teams try to pay a guy enough to where he's going to be that. But that is either you have it or you don't.
And that's what the question is about Harrison is, can Harrison be a role-playing version of himself that ultimately gives the Sacramento Kings the best chance to win? And I'm with you in the sense that all offseason people were talking about, hey, is now the right time to move on from Harrison? Harrison's on a contract year. You want to make sure you get value, or maybe he walks at the end of the season for nothing. My question was always, what better option is out there? How are you moving on from Harrison and improving yourself? And I see conversations about changing the starting lineup. Okay, if you take Harrison Barnes out, what better option is out there? Now, some of you might be yelling, Keegan Murray, Keegan Murray, look how he's playing. I would say Keegan Murray in for KZ Okpala is probably the better play. But ultimately, even if Harrison is struggling, he's still, I know what I'm getting out of him. And I think that's really valuable for Mike Brown to have. And we can see him leaning on that. Now, Mike Brown and all of us expect better from Harrison. But for the most part, at least we know what Harrison is and that he can hold down that position.
And you know, Matt, and let me put this out there too. You know, like I said, I'm not here to discredit Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is a very good player in my eye. But the thing about it is that, like I said, everybody can't be a Batman, and it's okay. It's okay because that's why you have role players on teams. Mm-hmm. What you have to understand is that Harrison Barnes has pretty much always been a role player. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the day, do you think we're asking too much of Harrison? I don't think so. I think Harrison is just having a slump. But once again, you know, you have to look at if you're trying to get Harrison Barnes to a certain particular a place on the basketball floor, you're going to have to help him out. You know, you can't just look at Harrison two and three times and then think that you're going to get the best Harrison Barnes. Because if he don't score that first time, maybe don't score that second time, he's not going to be the guy that's going to be screaming, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. You know, he's not that guy. You know, and I mean, and then when you try to compare it to De'Aaron Fox, D-Fox got the ball in his hand. And when D-Fox want to shoot or D-Fox want to do something, he makes sure that it is known. You know, he's that guy that's going to be verbal about it. You know, so Harrison definitely needs to step it up. The whole team needs to step it up from the free throw line. The way they shot the free throw, the ball the other night against the Lakers? It was atrocious.
Clippers, yeah. The Clippers game was...
It was atrocious. I mean, it was terrible. You know, they bounced back against Golden State. You know, in order to be a good basketball team, Matt, they're going to have to shoot the basketball from the free throw line at least 79-80%. That's the standard. And, you know, and all that comes down to is concentration. You know, us as basketball players, we've shot millions of free throws. We can walk up to a free throw line and close our eyes and knock down a free throw. We've done it just that many times. It's repetitive. It's all about concentration at that line.
When going back to Harrison Barnes, when shooters are going through slumps, you hear coaches and players and teammates say, hey, just keep shooting. It'll come. Keep shooting. Shoot your way through it. But for a player like Harrison who can shoot but is not known as a shooter to go through a slump like this, like what advice would you give Harrison if you were on his coaching staff or thinking back to when you went through a slump yourself in your career, what do you do to work through that?
You know, I don't know how well Mike Brown knows Harrison Barnes or knows Harrison Barnes' game, but as far as what we've seen here in Sacramento, Harrison Barnes' outside shot is struggling. But Harrison Barnes is a hell of a low post player. Mm-hmm. It's been times where Harrison Barnes have carried this team in the low post.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to find something to set Harrison Barnes up with a play to where he gets the ball down in the low post and he gets to go to work and get shots that's going towards the basket and get him at the free throw line a little bit more. HBU now knocked down free throws. But, you know, I think that would help him as far as getting his shot going and getting that confidence back.
I'm glad you brought up the post because that's something that I noticed too is not only now the Kings were a worse team last year than they were this year. They have more weapons this year than they did last year. But there were times, Henry, and I think you were alluding to this, where the Kings would rely on Harrison to get a bucket in the post to stop the bleeding or to continue a run. Or if they couldn't get anything going, Harrison Barnes in the post was all reliable. And I haven't seen him post up at any point. I don't know if that's Mike Brown's offense and those decisions. I don't know if it's Harrison Barnes' decision, but I 100% agree with you. Reestablish Harrison's post game a little bit. See if you can take advantage of some mismatches, because you know defenses are switching a lot, having to deal with Fox and Sabonis.
No doubt. If you need to get Harrison Barnes going and he just can't get the fire going from outside on the perimeter, you're going to have to put that guy down in the low post for a little while and say, okay, HB, let's see if we can get you going down here, because he does have a double facet game. He can play on the outside and he has a low post game. So, you know, if the outside ain't working, hey, go to the low post, see what he can give you.
Well, last question I'll ask you about Harrison Barnes before we move on. At what point does it go from a slump to a major concern? Is there like a game total? Because the reality is, Henry, we're three games into a 82-game season. Like, there's so much time for him to turn it around. But if we get 15 games in and he's still struggling, do you start to panic, or does that number even exist?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't panic on Harrison Barnes right now. Look at the stats, Matt. Nobody is really shooting lights out besides De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody is struggling. So you just can't just point the finger at Harrison and say, okay, well, we're going to give you a time frame. You know, I honestly think Harrison will bounce back. It might take a little time. I don't think the Kings should have a panic button with Harrison Barnes. I mean, it shouldn't be a panic button. It's like, okay, you know, he's just not playing well. And, you know, give him some time and get it going. I mean, you can't have a Harrison Barnes that's going to struggle the whole year. You can't have that. But still, all in all, you can't just say, you know, first two or three, four. I'm like, even 10 to 15 games, if he's struggling, you still can't say, well, okay, we're going to dump Harrison Barnes and bring somebody else in. No, you can't do that.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy the way it was meant to be played. No more worrying about managing lineups every single day, adjustments, no more having to deal with when you're, especially in NBA fantasy, basketball fantasy, when you're playing a team and maybe their best player plays three times in a week when your best player plays only twice. It's an unfair advantage. You deal with things like this all the time in fantasy that are a nuisance. They're annoying. Daily fantasy, the way it was meant to be played, that's what Prize Picks is. And the way Prize Picks works is you pick like 2 to 5 players, and if they will go and score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. So say I pick De'Aaron Fox, Ja Morant, and Domantas Sabonis for this upcoming Kings and Grizzlies game. I think Fox is going to score over his projection of 28 points. Ja Morant is going to score over his projection of 26 points. And Domantas Sabonis is going to score under his projection of 20 points. If I get all those right, I can win up to 10 times on the money that I put down. And getting money in there is not a problem, because Locked On has your back. If you download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com and sign up today, you can use our promo code Locked On and you'll get 100% match of the money that you put in up to $100. So you put in $100, you get $100 for free right there from Prize Picks. They have quick, safe, easy withdrawals for you. So when you win, you get that money for you. And of course, it's not just for basketball. They have it for NFL football, MLB, NHL, PGA, college sports, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball. They have everything for you on Prize Picks. Again, don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. You talked about the rookie earlier. Keep talking about him. Keegan Murray, man, he's just been so good. Immediately inserting himself into one of the most reliable shooters on the team conversation. What impresses me the most, Henry, is just his composure. Now, I know he's an older rookie, but still, to have not played any time in the NBA, your first assignment, you're looking across the court at Paul George, doing a pretty good job of guarding him and going right at him on the offensive end. Like Keegan Murray's composure and the belief that he belongs, that really stands out to me.
You know, Keegan Murray looked like he's been here before. If it wasn't for the baby face, I would swear he'd been here before. He reminds me a lot of Tim Duncan, man. I mean, this young man's game is just so refined and so poised. He never gets out of character. You don't ever see him trying to do something that Keegan Murray can't do, you know, and he doesn't shy away from the moment. He knows that when he's on that floor, he's on that floor to play. He's not passive. He takes the shots that come to him, and he doesn't do what he can't do. I like that. And even on the defensive end, you know, he isn't always right, but it's he seems to have a sense of where he needs to be in the team concept.
He's only played two of the three games, was only available for two of the three games. In those two games, he's leading the team in minutes, so he's getting plenty of playing time. He's typically on the floor, or at least has been on the floor when both games have come down to the wire. But he's not in the starting lineup yet. I know a lot of people, myself included, make a big deal about starting lineups. I think he should be starting. I think the Kings want to start with their best foot forward. But starting lineups, I don't know how much you think they matter or not. Where do you weigh in on the, hey, put Keegan Murray in the starting lineup, or I'm good with where he's how he's playing right now?
Okay, I'm going to give you two examples. Number one, I love when teams get a rookie like Keegan and they don't put all the pressure on him to be like, we need you to play at an excellent level, because if you don't, we don't win if you don't give us this type of productivity. Mm. I love when you let a rookie come in and just learn how to be a pro, be a piece of the, be a slice, not the whole pie. You're just a piece of the puzzle. Learn how to play NBA style basketball. That's why I'm not worried about if he starts. Now, that's one. Number two, you have to look at what Mike Brown is looking at, or at, as far as the rest of the bench. Keegan Murray can score. Mm. All right. This is a guy you can run your offense through. This is a guy who you know is going to give you some buckets. He's going to bring that firepower off the bench. And he's confident. He's going to go. So here's, you know, think about this. If you put Keegan Murray in the starting lineup, he's a rookie. He's going to look at De'Aaron Fox, look at Sabonis, look at Harrison Barnes and be like, I might not be so adept at taking this shot. But when he comes off the bench, he understands that he's the guy it's going through. I think he's in a good groove. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes. Why even play with it? Now, if at the half point of the season, if they want to move him into the starting lineup, fine. Or if he's playing just so lights out to where you have to have him in that starting lineup, then okay, fine with that too. But I look at it like this, Matt. Bobby Jackson could have started on any NBA basketball team, but he came off the bench for the Sacramento Kings. That was the best thing for that team. So it's not enough to say you're coming off the bench, you're not starting.
You know, one of the things that has stood out to me almost immediately when it comes to Keegan Murray's play is the quick relationship on the floor that he has built with De'Aaron Fox. And we've watched Fox's entire career, and I'm not saying that he hasn't had good teammates. I'm not saying that he hasn't gotten along with his teammates in the past, but we've never seen De'Aaron really click with a player. I know the Kings were hoping that that De'Aaron Marvin Bagley pairing could have been something. We know what happened there. There's still a ton of hope and expectation that De'Aaron and Domantas Sabonis can pair really well together as a pick and roll duo. And they really do. But what's jumped off the page to me immediately, Henry, and I don't have this number directly in front of me, but I did my own research. I think Keegan has hit 13 shots so far in his first two games. De'Aaron has assisted on five of them. The two of them just seem to seamlessly play with one another. And that really excites me.
Well, first of all, Keegan's basketball IQ is very high. So he comes in with a very high basketball IQ. And then De'Aaron Fox knows he got a shot maker. The dude can make shots. So why wouldn't you want to pass him the ball? He can get you a bucket. So it's not rocket science, Matt. If I drive to the basket and I see Keegan Murray on the wing and his guy is helping, believe me, I'm kicking him that ball because he can knock it down.
Well, let me ask you, let me put you in that impossible situation. You're on the wing, you're guarding Keegan Murray. You watch De'Aaron Fox blow by your teammate. You can either help and leave Keegan, help on Fox, try and meet him at the rim or stop him in the paint, or you stay on Keegan and hope that someone else bails him out, or bails you out. What choice are you making there? That seems like an impossible choice.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm coaching and that's the scenario, I'm like, okay, De'Aaron's man stays with De'Aaron. Keegan's man stays with Keegan because he can knock down the shot at a very high clip. We're going to rotate somebody else over to meet De'Aaron at that rim because I'd rather take that chance than to leave Keegan out there by himself because he's going to knock that shot down.
Yeah, and you don't want to let De'Aaron Fox do what he does best, which is finish around the rim. But let's talk about him a little bit, man. Henry, I put a lot of pressure on De'Aaron, and I've talked a lot about the fact that he's struggled to start seasons pretty consistently throughout his career. We know how important the season is, not just for her, but for the Sacramento Kings as a whole. De'Aaron Fox has done everything that I could ask of him. And it's a bummer that on opening night when he scored 33, he had those 8 turnovers, because that kind of marred or undermined a really, really solid performance. He follows it up with 36 points. He's in the top 10 leading scorers. He entered the Golden State game as the second leading scorer behind just Jason Tatum. Like, De'Aaron is doing everything you could ask of your star. And it's really disappointing that the team is 0-3, because he's not going to get the recognition that he deserves for how he's playing to start this season.
You know, Matt, I've been equally as critical on De'Aaron, because I played with greatness. I played with Hall of Famers. I played with Mitch Richmond. And you know what a guy has that it factor. And De'Aaron has that. I think De'Aaron chooses to hit the light switch when De'Aaron wants to. You know, he's just that good to where he can hit a light switch. He's a different guy. But this year, these first couple of games, it seems like De'Aaron is very much in tune. De'Aaron is very much rejuvenated. De'Aaron is out there playing at the best of his ability. You know, his first 3 games, he's playing lights out, bro. You can't ask the dude to do anything else more. And I'm talking about on the offensive side and the defensive side. De'Aaron is getting steals. He's getting deflections. He's getting out in transition. He's assisting guys on passes. And I'm with you. It's kind of a travesty that the Kings haven't at least won one game to where De'Aaron would get the accolades that he also deserved, because we both know how this league is. You know, yeah, you can light it up all you want to, but if you don't have any W's in the column, they tend to look over you when it comes down time to go to the All-Star game.
This episode of Locked On Kings is also brought to you by BetOnline. Now, BetOnline is your number one source for betting football and basketball all season long. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth analysis on every game. There's a new line out for the odds or best odds for the team that Russell Westbrook is going to be traded to. Go and check that out if you want to make some money off of where Russell Westbrook is going to go. If you want to make some money on Keegan Murray maybe winning Rookie of the Year, he's got the 3rd best odds right now on Bet Online. Take that. You can still feel optimistic about the Kings season and take the over on the Kings win loss total, which is, I think, 32.5, if I'm not mistaken. I still would take the over on that, even with the 0-3 start. Use your Kings knowledge, use your basketball knowledge, use your sports knowledge, and make money, because it's not just Kings basketball you can bet on. You can bet on any NBA game, college sports, NFL, the World Series. You can bet on MMA, boxing, and golf if you're into that. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts. You know, in the Clippers game, I noticed this. I wonder if you did too. You have a keen eye for stuff like this. There was a moment. Now, Paul George had an amazing night, went off for 40. So no one can claim that they shut Paul George down. Although I think De'Aaron made Paul George work at times. I think Davion made Paul George work. Keegan Murray made Paul George work. Paul was just hitting some ridiculous freaking shots and showing the star power that he has. But there was a moment where Paul was being guarded out of an inbound by Kevin Huerter. And Fox went up to Kevin and said, "Switch with me. I got Paul." He took on that assignment. That's something that we know De'Aaron has in him, that dog that we have seen before. But for him this early in the season, and at that point it was pretty early on in the game, for him to take on that challenge, that speaks to a world of growth from De'Aaron that I don't think we've seen yet.
You know, Matt, I've seen that play. I know exactly what you're talking about, because Paul George was going at Kevin Huerter. Every time Kevin Huerter guarded him, he took him down in the low post and went right at him.
Yep.
And I saw when De'Aaron switched off. And usually, I agree with you. Usually, we don't see that until we see pissed off De'Aaron. When somebody slaps him in the face or fouls him or he don't get a call, then he hits that light switch. And, you know, he gets in tune on the defensive end. But, yeah, that's why I say we have a more rejuvenated De'Aaron Fox, because he's doing things like that on the floor without having a reason to do it, just looking at the issue and trying to figure out, okay, this is what we need to try to win this game.
Well, everybody's going to talk about the points that he's averaging. 31.7 points per game. He's shooting 45% from three-point range. We know that's not sustainable, but right now he's hitting that shot, which makes him virtually unguardable. But Henry, in addition to all the amazing scoring that he's doing, he's averaging 7 assists a game. And that's so big. And we know De'Aaron's always had the ability to be a playmaker, but this is a De'Aaron Fox that is showing you, yeah, I can put the scoring load on my back. I can lead the team in scoring. I can damn near lead the league in scoring, but I'm still going to get my teammates involved. That's huge.
Well, you know, you have to look at what De'Aaron Fox is working with also. You know, Sabonis has been struggling, all right? He hasn't been the most reliable as of yet. Harrison Barnes is struggling. He hasn't been the most reliable. Keegan Murray is knocking down shots. Kevin Herter has been up and down a little bit. And then when you talk about the other complementary players, they haven't been knocking down shots at a world-beating clip. So can you imagine what type of numbers this guy is going to have when these dudes finally get to clicking and knocking down some shots?
Mm. Yeah, it's easy to think about. Well, finally, Henry, you're going to be in the building. You're going to be on the call with the G-Man and Jason Ross Thursday night, Kings and Grizzlies. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies have been on fire to start this season. Ja versus De'Aaron is instant fireworks. What are you expecting from this game? What are you looking forward to from this game? And I know the Kings are 0-3. A lot of people think they're going to be 0-4 at the end of the night, but aren't these games when you're at home early in the season, especially when you're on a slide, protecting your home floor, these are games that you got to find a way to get.
Yeah. And the Kings have definitely been guilty of not holding home court. You know, that's been another aspect of the game to where they have totally been lacking. But what I expect from this game, I expect electrifying play. I expect some lightning, some thunder, because, you know, it's always been the thing that the media, us, we got going. I can't say it's with them, but it's with us about the Ja Morant, De'Aaron Fox comparison.
Oh, yeah. Guilty.
Remember, it was a big thing that was running around Twitter last year. Someone tweeted out that Ja Morant was everything that De'Aaron Fox wanted to be, you know, and that was a big thing. So, but no doubt, Ja Morant, love the guy, love the way he plays, love the way he runs his basketball team. He's an alpha male. He gets it done on the offensive side. He gets it done on the defensive side. And De'Aaron Fox this year, for what he's starting out, how he's playing, it's going to be a rumble in the jungle. It's going to be the Thriller in Manila. Rumble, young man, rumble.
You can tell HT is fired up about that. If you're going to be at the arena, of course, enjoy the game with all the festivities with us. If you're not going to be, though, consider listening to the fireworks with G-Man and HT on the radio broadcast. Henry, love you, my man. Always appreciate you being willing to do this. We'll definitely do it again some point this season. It's so great to see you. So great to have Kings basketball back. Appreciate you making time here tonight. We'll do it again soon.
My man, Matty. We out.
Huge thank you to HT for making time here for an episode of Locked On Kings. Really appreciate his insight. Now we want to hear from you. Let me know what you think is going on with Harrison Barnes, what you would do with Harrison Barnes. Are you concerned or are you pretty patient and confident that Harrison is going to be able to turn things around? Let me know. You can tweet me at MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. You can email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com, or you can leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. And I had someone, a listener, reach out to me recently and say, hey, Matt, why don't you incorporate those more in the show? And I think that's a great idea. So what we're going to do is on the next episode of Locked On Kings, at some point, we're going to revisit this Harrison Barnes topic, and I'm going to include some of the comments that I get on YouTube or on Twitter or wherever I get them, an email. So send those to me. Let's talk about them a little bit. I'll respond to them, use some of them for the show, and maybe just engage in conversation with you privately about them as well. This is not just a platform for me to share my Kings opinions and for you to listen. This is a conversation starter. This is a place for us to talk and share our opinions and our love of the Sacramento Kings team. So let's get involved in that, and I'll do my best to incorporate your thoughts, your opinions, your voice more in the show. Really appreciate your support. Great note there. And if you have other notes or suggestions for the show, feel free to send them to me as well. If you could leave a review for the Locked On Kings podcast on Apple Podcasts, that would really, really help. Hit 5 stars if you think it's worth that. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. Hey, I'm a YouTuber now. I can say things like that. Always just continue to keep listening, keep supporting, sharing this podcast with your friends, Kings fans, or otherwise. I've been so delighted by how many fans of other teams have listened to Locked On Kings maybe before a matchup against their team and have stuck around to listen. Really appreciate you. You know who you are. And I can't wait to be back with you for the next episode of Locked On Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.